When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Says, I want you to be our leader. It doesn't usually happen.
I must be passionate about it, and I must believe it, and I'm never doing an impression of another person. So I always come from a place of saying what I really believe, because you can't transfer to somebody that which you don't experience yourself. I can give you passion, I can give you energy, I can give you my belief if I'm experiencing it.
Well, in my view, success is happiness. The most elusive thing in life is personal happiness. Thomas Jefferson wrote about the pursuit of happiness. He never told us how to actually get it, but finding somebody that's happy with their life is really good. So if you meet a poor person and they are very happy with what they're doing, why should you say your life isn't successful? They're very happy with what they're doing. If you meet a very wealthy person and he or she is tortured with their money and they don't know what to do with it, their children hate them, everybody hates them, is that person successful? I don't really think so. I think success comes about when you are happy, because that's the point of life to some extent, is being happy. That's why we're all here, I guess, to some extent. We want to make the life better for other people. But to some extent, if you are making life better for other people, you're going to be happy, in my view.
There's this misnomer, and you've watched this even in your own life or the successful people you've interviewed. So there's this thing people think that, like, I'll be happy when. Once I get, like, this big, amazing home, or once I get this car, or once I get this relationship or an amount of money, then I'll allow myself some happiness. The problem is the finish line always moves. You never arrive there, right? The other part is people think, well, if I enjoy myself now, I'm gonna lose my drive. In other words, if I can just wire myself with enough pain all the time, I won't lose my drive or ambition. The truth is there's no correlation between the two at all. There's no relationship between you feeling complete pain all the time and losing drive. And so I talk about living in a state of blissful dissatisfaction. And really, the best example of that would be like if you've ever, I love a good meal, right? You know, if I bite into a great piece of steak, if you're a steak eater like I am, you take that first bite, it's like complete bliss, right? There's no correlation between how great that tasted and your lack of desire for the next bite. In fact, that bliss causes you to want more of it. And so the more we can do to reward ourselves with bliss, we're not going to lose our dissatisfaction. We're not going to lose that. And so for me, our brains, this dopamine hit you get when you do something successful, if you constantly cheat yourself out of that hit, right, biomechanically in your body, less and less in the future will you want to achieve the next level, the next dream, the next step. And that's why so many people stall out in life. They got to a certain point and they cheated themselves out of the bliss, out of the celebration. It's important that we celebrate our wins. We celebrate our lives because it causes us to want the next bite. It keeps us hungrier, not the reverse. And so for me, I want to live in a state of being grateful and blissful now, not waiting for some future place or date that may never arrive.
It's why I created my cash flow board game.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have four different intelligences. We have mental intelligence. We have, I don't know what that one is, physical intelligence. You probably have very good physical to make, mm-hmm. Football and all that.
Yeah.
Emotional intelligence, but spiritual intelligence. So I went to military school in New York. The first thing is spiritual. You know, I become a Marine, it's spiritual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're putting your life on the freaking line.
Yeah.
You know, so Nassim Taleb, wrote the book, The Black Swan. He also wrote Anti-Fragile. He says there's three kinds of people in the world. There's fragile. And that's what our school systems are putting out. Fragile, wimpy, snowflakes. And that's your choice. You want to be that way? Have a good life.
Mm-hmm.
The second type is that, so a fragile is like a champagne flute.
Yep.
You hit it, it shatters. Then the second one is called robust. And a robust person is like the rock. You know, you can pound on them, dump on them,
Yeah.
They take it. But that's all they do. They take it. And then anti-fragile is somebody like you where they pound the crap out of you and you get smarter and better because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Nassim Taleb. You know, a lot of people call him Dr. Doom. But the way I look at this whole thing, this economy, is we're probably going into a depression. You know, we're not going to get out of this.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And so the thing is this good for you or bad for you? I'm looking forward to it. You know, the last crash was 2008. And I made more money in 2008 than in my whole life. I'm now 700 million, almost a billion in debt.
Really?
You know why? Because I don't pay any taxes. The more debt I have, the less tax I pay. And the average guy goes, how do you do that? Because you have bad teachers. And so it's this whole thing that you got to choose your teachers wisely. Mm-hmm. That's why I wrote the book, Fake Money, Fake Teachers, Fake Assets. I don't touch that garbage what's out. I don't have a 401k. I don't have stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs. Doesn't mean you shouldn't, but I don't need them. Okay?
Right.
And the other part is, look, for you young guys, the best teachers are not in colleges. The best teachers are on YouTube. The best teachers are on YouTube. Wake up. You know, this guy, George Gammon, he's fantastic. Patrick Bet-David, fantastic. You know,
he's great.
Jim Rickards. The fake teachers are in colleges. And they're telling you to get a job.
Right.
Up the corporate ladder. You know, Patrick Bet-David said it the best, and I love that guy. He says there's two kinds of leaders, wartime and peacetime. And a peacetime leader is a guy like my poor dad. He goes through all the right schools. He has all the pedigrees and credentials. He does all the right things. He climbs the corporate or the government ladder and all that. Well, a wartime leader goes to war. So Jobs, Steve Jobs, the wartime leader. I'm a wartime leader. Difference is I went to war. You know, I don't know where it is. I got this iPhone. If you can't make money with that, hang it up. You know, like we used to say, hang up the jockstrap. You're not gonna make the team. You can't make money with an iPhone through social media, through marketing. You have the world at your fingertips and you can't make money. The problem is between this year and this year. It's not out here, it's in here. That's why you've got to choose your teachers wisely.
Yeah.
You know, so let me just say it again. The best teachers are on YouTube. There's two kinds of discipline. There's internal or self-discipline, and then there's external discipline. So right now, if the world's kicking your, that's external discipline.
Mm.
And if you're self-disciplined, the world's kissing you right now. It's up to you. Baby boomers had it the easiest of all generations, but now their pensions are gone, their 401ks are gone.
Yep.
Social Security is broke, Medicare is broke. So I say to younger people, this pandemic, this crisis is the best thing that ever happened to you. You know, you think about that iPhone. You have more power in that iPhone than I had with my Sperry Univac mainframe computer. And then so when I meet people that say, oh, the economy is bad, I said, the only economy is between this year and that year.
Mm.
You know, there's an economy out here. But this is the best time for your generation because you're tech savvy. I'm not tech savvy. Mm-hmm. You know, you got this was made for you guys. Well, you know, that's why I keep saying to the young, the millennials, you know, they're a pack of wimps. I meet millennials who are just horrifyingly weak. Snowflakes, I call them. You know, they go to college.
Doormats.
They're taught trigger events or whatever, you know, I don't know what they say today, but they've got to have special rooms where there's no whatever. I'm going, holy mackerel, welcome to the real world, you know? And there's other millennials who are as tough as nails. I mean, this is the biggest opportunity they've ever had.
Huge.
So it just depends upon what's between this year and this year, what's in the heart.
The space business is quite hard to start a company in the space business because it's such a capital intensive business. So it may be better to do something in solar power, or if you're going to do it in cars, do it in as kind of a component supplier for cars or something like that.
That all those things improve the odds of success.
Okay.
Right. I mean, if other people are putting in 40-hour work weeks and you're putting in 100-hour work weeks, then even if you're doing the same thing, you know that you will achieve in 4 months what it takes them a year to achieve.
when I was a kid, I was wondering kind of what's the meaning of life? Like, why are we here? What's it all about? And I came to the conclusion that what really matters is trying to understand the right questions to ask. And the more that we can increase the scope and scale of human consciousness, the better we are able to ask these questions. If somebody is doing something that is useful to the rest of society, I think that's a good thing. Like, it doesn't have to change the world. If you're doing something that has high value to people, I mean, I think that's fine. Like, stuff doesn't need to be changed the world just to be good. But you know, in terms of things that I think are most likely to affect the future of humanity, I think AI is probably the single biggest item in the near term that's likely to affect humanity. So it's very important that we have the advent of AI in a good way. If you could look into the crystal ball and see the future, you would like that outcome, because it is something that could go wrong. As we've talked about many times, we really need to make sure it goes right. Working on AI and making sure it's a great future, that's the most important thing, I think, right now. Obviously, anything to do with genetics, if you can actually solve genetic diseases, prevent dementia or Alzheimer's or something like that with genetic reprogramming, that would be wonderful. So I think this genetics, it might be the sort of second most important item. I think having a high bandwidth interface to the brain, like, we're currently bandwidth limited. We have a digital tertiary self in the form of our email capabilities, our computers, phones, applications. We're effectively superhuman, but we're extremely bandwidth constrained in that interface between the cortex and your sort of that tertiary digital form of yourself. And helping solve that bandwidth constraint would be, I think, very important for the future as well. On signal over noise, a lot of companies get confused. They spend money on things that don't actually make the product better. So, for example, at Tesla, we've never spent any money on advertising. We put all of the money into R&D and manufacturing and design to try to make the car as good as possible. I think that's the way to go. So, for any given company, just can keep thinking about, are these efforts that people are expending, are they resulting in a better product or service? And if they're not, stop those efforts. You may have heard me say that it's good to think in terms of the physics approach or first principles, which is, rather than reasoning by analogy, you boil things down to the most fundamental truths you can imagine and you reason up from there. And this is a good way to figure out if something really makes sense or if it's just what everybody else is doing. And it's hard to think that way. You can't think that way about everything. It takes a lot of effort. But if you're trying to do something new, it's the best way to think. And that framework was developed by physicists to figure out counterintuitive things. Like quantum mechanics, so it's really a powerful method. You guys are the magicians of the 21st century. You know, don't let anything hold you back. Imagination is the limit, and go out there and create some magic.
So if you want to make six figures, you can't just be talking about you want to make six figures. You won't be successful until you say, I don't need that money. It's not the most talented. It's not the quickest. It's not the fastest. It's not the strongest. No. That's not the person who makes all their dreams become a reality. Sometimes, guys, it's less talent and it's more effort. Are you hearing me? Sometimes it's less talent and more effort. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Most of you say you want to be successful, but you don't want it bad. You just kind of want it. You don't want it badder than you want a party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool. Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep. You got to be willing to work off for 3 hours of sleep, 2 hours. If you really want to be successful, some days you're going to have to stay up 3 days in a row. Because if you go to sleep, you might miss the opportunity to be successful. That's how bad you got to want it. When 50 Cent was doing his movie, I did a little, 50 said that when he wasn't doing the movie, he was doing the soundtrack. And they said, when do you sleep, 50? Sleep, he said, sleep. Sleep is for those people who are broke. I don't sleep. Said, I got an opportunity to make the dream become a reality. Most of you won't be successful because when you're studying and you get tired, you quit. And I'm here to tell you today, if you got somebody came to my office the other day crying, I said, look, don't cry to give up, cry to keep going. Don't cry to quit. You already in pain, you already hurt, get a reward from it. Don't go to sleep until you succeed. I dare you to take a little pain. I dare you. I dare you not to go home. Somebody said, I don't go home, I feel bad. Go through it. You ain't gonna die. At the end of pain is success. You're not gonna die because you're feeling a little pain. So don't worry about a little pain. Listen to me, you haven't tapped into your own potential. You haven't tapped into your own greatness. You keep looking for it out there. If I would just buy this, if I would just wear this, if this person would appreciate me, if this person would value me. Listen to me very closely, baby. The sooner you get in that mirror, the sooner you get in that mirror, the sooner you tap into your greatness, is the sooner all your dreams are going to become a reality. Are you listening to me? There's some folks out there, man, you went to Breed University. Look, I'm tripping that nobody invested in silver. Nobody. Nobody invested in silver. Blowing my mind. Nothing wrong with silver. But that first 24 hours, that first 48 hours, nobody. We got more diamonds than anything. What is that telling me? It's like, yo, E.T., I'm ready to invest in me, E.T. Unbelievable. Gold, unbelievable. I'm sorry, platinum. Folks was like, E.T., I'm willing to make the investment in me. And so I'm telling you, standing out there, hey, it's about a commitment. Go to Weight Watchers. Stop playing. If you do the three things I tell you to do tonight, I guarantee you, whatever it is you want to do in life, you'll be able to do. You will be able to accomplish whatever you want to academically, financially, relationally, whatever. So three things. All right, I'm going to tell you the story. I got to get out of here. And the story is about, you guys have probably heard about this before. It was a young man who, you know, he wanted to make a lot of money. And so he went to this guru, right? He told the guru, you know, I want to be on the same level you are. And so the guru said, if you want to be on the same level I'm on, I'll meet you tomorrow at the beach at 4 a.m. He liked the beach. I said, I want to make money. I don't want to swim. Guru said, if you want to make money, I'll meet you tomorrow, 4 a.m. So the young man got there at 4 a.m. He all ready to rock and roll, got on the suit. He should have wore shorts. The old man grabs his hand, said, how bad do you want to be successful? He said, real bad. He said, walk on out in the water. So he walks out into the water. Watch this. When he walks out into the water, it goes waist deep. So he like, this guy crazy. Adrian, he like, I want to make money. He got me out here swimming. I didn't ask to be a lifeguard. I want to make money. He got me in. So he said, come out a little further. Walked out a little further. Then he had it right around this area, the shoulder area. So this old man crazy. He making money, but he crazy. Said, come on out a little further. Came out a little further. It was right at his mouth. My man like, I'm about to go back in here. This guy out of his mind. So the old man said, I thought you said you wanted to be successful. He said, I do. He said, walk a little further. He came, dropped his head in, held him down, hold him down. My man getting scratching, holding him down. I got you. I know you brushed it out, but I got you. He had him held down. I need you for an illustration. He had him held down. Just before my man was about to pass out, he raised him up. He said, when you were underwater, what did you want to do? He told the guy, he said, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. Most of them are not doing what I'm doing. Why? Because it's not about where you come from. It's about heart. You come to a place where, you know, being smart ain't enough. You got to have heart. That's number one. Watch number two. Number two, catch number two. I wrote it down. I wanted to make sure you got it. It says, watch this. We're talking about sacrifice now. The important thing is this. You're right in why I'm saying it, because I only have about three more minutes. Listen to me. The most important thing is this, to be able at any moment to sacrifice what you are for what you will become.
And our vision at Ariba was really simple. We said we want to build a great sustaining company into the 21st century because we had just sold Razzler, and we actually kind of wanted to keep it going. They just made us an offer we couldn't refuse. We owed that to the shareholders.
Good problem to have.
Yeah. And then the mission is all about leadership, because the object of the game, particularly in Silicon Valley, is to be the category king. Because when you're the category king, you get 80% of the industry resources and 80% of market cap. Players 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they could fight over the scrap. So our mission was to create a category called business-to-business electronic commerce and to be the leader. And then the next thing under that is your values. So, right, integrity's there, courage, high ambition, accountability, respect, the basics. And then we had a set of team rules that kind of personify those values. And by the way, same team rules for all the companies. The first one is direct, open, and honest communication. In a word, the truth. Because I had seen at General Motors, when you go through 15 levels, you know, I started at the lowest of the low, production floor, to the highest of the high, where I was a staff for the board of directors. I could see how that message would change, right? The second one is no idea is a bad idea. And then we added parentheses, unless the CEOs.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
So, because it's all about making a safe environment.
Sure.
And you can make a safe environment when you mock out the CEO. Plus it's fun. The third one is always raise the standard in everything we do, in our people, our processes, and our products. And if somebody can't keep up with that standard, you got to do something about it. Otherwise, you've automatically lowered your standard. Then the fourth one is we're a team first and functional specialist second. So you developers put your feet in the customer's shoes. You sales guys don't make commitments we can't keep. And then the fifth one is the most powerful one of all. And that is hire the best people, especially if they're better than us. And I'll tell you an inflection point at Ariba. You know, every Friday, up until we probably got to be about 100 people, we'd go around the room at what we call the round table. Anybody could say anything they want on their mind. Ariba, we had 7 founders, right? And so this one guy stands up, our VP of marketing, one of the founders, Bobby Lynn. And he goes, you know, this opportunity is way bigger than I ever imagined. Ariba's going to be way more successful than even I can dream of. And he goes, citing team rule number 5, I think we ought to go out and hire a real world-class VP of marketing who's done it before, and I'll focus on partnership. And you can just see jaws dropping. And the guy who came after him, I'll never forget, his name was Guy Haskins. He was about 24 years old. He just goes, Bobby, I just came from a software company. It is going to go bankrupt any day now. But if one guy would have had the courage to say what you just said right now, we could have taken it to the moon. So from that point on, it became noble to hire the best people, especially better than us. You know, I've had the good fortune of living the American dream. And I feel really, really, really blessed. And so I think that was one of the things my parents, you know, obviously my drive comes from my upbringing. And it's about paying it forward and giving it back. And so if you look at the things, whether it's what I did in higher education or in the business world or in, public service, it's all about that next generation. One of the things that I started before I went off into government was called the Global Mentor Network, and it's all about mentoring tomorrow's transformational leaders at scale. So, you know, we created all these videos of these really famous transformational leaders. And so if you ask me, okay, so what would be your big legacy you want to leave behind? I think back of what my dad would always say about fatherhood. He goes, you never know if you're a good father until you see your children's children. So I would say, you know, it's all about my mentees. You never know if you're a good leader until you see your mentees, because you're teaching them how to cascade that down. And I've had some great mentors in my life. You know, there's a genealogy out here in Silicon Valley, because this stuff's not written in a book, right? So you learn from the previous guy. My mom would always say the best way to learn is OPE, other people's experience. She would always say the best way to learn is from your mistakes. She goes, learn from other people's mistakes. You have time enough to make your own, right?
For the first 2 years that I ran VaynerMedia, we had no rent. We first worked out of a conference room. We then worked out of a co-working space before the whole WeWork and co-working space revolution, and I bartered my time to help that company in exchange for a very small space. We didn't buy furniture, we scrapped. And I'd already made it, I was already rich, and we scrapped. And so the biggest thing that I want to implore everybody here today to do is to take a step back and think about how fancy are they. Are you willing to be really, really, really ghetto? Do you really need that chair? Do you really need that piece of technology? Do you really need to fly that class? Like, I just think that we're living through an incredibly fancy culture of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship and CEO status is quite sexy. People are selling a lifestyle that is filled with lots of fun and trips and champagne and bikinis and bling bling and all sorts of horse shit, right? And I just think that this era is gonna come to an end somewhere within the next 5 years. And very honestly, I just don't want a lot of people in this room that dream to build their own businesses to have to go work at a bank or go work at a retail store. And so I would highly recommend something that I think is stunningly not talked about enough, which is if you're building a business, you have to be making money. Everybody thinks they're gonna be Zucks. Everybody thinks they're gonna build Snapchat. Go look at the data. The data shows that the far majority of this room will not succeed, not even close, to building an actual business. And I don't come here to be somber. I come here to remind you that there's only one thing you can do. The only thing you can do that can trump the moment mommy and daddy had sex to make you. The only thing that can trump that. The only thing that can trump your DNA, the only thing that is controllable, if you want it, if you want this, is work. If you've got a big mouth, and a lot of you do here, search the hashtag, and a lot of you say CEO, founder, owner. I call that big mouth. If you've got the audacity to do it, and so many of you've heard this from me, when I audit you, and I do, because I'm curious, it's how I learn. People talk a big game. I especially love when somebody hits me up on social like, Gary Vee, you're gonna buy the Jets, I'm gonna buy the Rams. You know, everybody's buying a sports team. And I love to look at what that person does. And then I'll DM that person and be like, yo bro, nobody, unless they were a trust fund baby, ever bought the Rams when they go skiing for a week when they're 24. Nobody you know has become successful outside of it being given to them from their family. Nobody you know has actually created success without working their face off. It doesn't exist. So you can sit and talk about luck, and you can sit and talk about this, that, or the other thing, but I promise you, the only controllable thing you have is your work ethic. What is the definition of winning? And I think we all have different definitions, right? And I think that one of the things that I also want to say is that I'm getting scared that a lot of people that are following my journey hear me talking about buying the New York Jets, and I do aspire to buy a $3 billion sports franchise. I do, it is what I want. It's, you can look at my fifth grade yearbook long before business was cool. It's what I wanna do. But I'm awfully scared that it's pressuring the people that follow me into trying to achieve things that they don't necessarily want. They just think it's the thing you do if you're trying to be a successful business person. Let me promise you something. I know tens of thousands of people. I know thousands of people extremely well. I know hundreds of people deeply well. There is no correlation between how much money someone makes and their level of happiness. I have friends who make $47,000 a year and are the happiest people I know. Their work-life balance is on point, they're part of two soccer teams, they play video games, they watch every show they want, they take two vacations that they scrap together, and they're freaking happy as hell. And I know tons of people who I grew up with in the Silicon Valley boom who have hundreds of millions of dollars in their bank account and are as miserable and as lonely and as broken as you'll ever see. So I implore all of you to please reverse engineer and figure out who you are.
The word entrepreneur is a bullshit term. It's one of the most overused nonsense terms out there. I can teach anybody to become an entrepreneur in 2 minutes flat. All you gotta do is go to fiverr.com, open an account, and offer to make videos or images for someone. Boom, you're self-employed, you're an entrepreneur. It's a bullshit term. You have that, and then you have, at the end of the spectrum, probably the greatest living entrepreneur today, Elon Musk. But the spectrum is so wide, it's a bad definition. So there are other definitions that you gotta look at, right? You gotta look at, are you working in a job where you can earn the money you need to live the life you want while being fulfilled and happy doing the work you do? I think that is the definition. You don't have to be an entrepreneur for that. Many of the people creating the biggest changes in the world are not entrepreneurs. Think about the engineers at NASA. Think about the people who are inventing new technologies. Think about the people who come up with new medicines that are changing lives. Many of these people are working for companies that they are paid well, they love their jobs, they're making a contribution to humanity. And it is enough if you're that. This bullshit idea that you gotta be working for yourself is so outdated. Rather, you gotta look at three things. Number one, can I exercise what I'm really good at doing? Number two, do I love what I'm doing? Number three, am I making money doing this? There are lots of different opportunities, but you gotta try to find these new fields, these new things which are emerging. Now, here's the good news. According to futurist Peter Diamandis, between 2022 and 2026, the world will see as much change as between the year 1900 to 2000. In 4 years, starting next month, we're gonna see as much change as between the years 1900 to 2000. New technologies, new opportunities, new things are going to emerge. The whole field of Web3 is emerging right now. And this means there's going to be so much opportunity for disruption. But if you're an entrepreneur, aspiring entrepreneur, it's good news. Because there's going to be so much change and so much opportunity for you to disrupt the established players. Someone who's starting a new business, the first thing is, don't quit your day job. You gotta make sure that you have income, that you have safety, that you have food on the table. Don't get desperate and don't put yourself under that stress. Now, when I was working on my day job, it still gave me 2 hours a night to work on my side hustle. And of course, I had the weekends. You might have to sacrifice evenings. You might have to spend less time on Instagram, on Netflix. You might have less weekend time. If you can dedicate yourself, and if you can ensure that you're constantly learning and learning and learning, odds are you're going to be successful. That's tip number one. Now, tip number two is this. Don't try to do what everybody else is doing. Because if you do what everybody else is doing, it's gonna be a lot more challenging. So when Instagram was just getting off the ground, right, in like 2010, you could go and start an Instagram channel on makeup, and maybe you might end up like Huda Beauty, which has like 49 million fans today. But they were one of the early ones. You got to get in early. I think TikTok is still early. So I think there's an opportunity in TikTok. Instagram, I think, is later stage. It's not just about social media. For example, coaching. Coaching is blowing up right now. More and more companies are looking for coaches for their employees. I have a coach. So many people I know now get a coach. It used to be a situation where if you got a coach, people were like, is something wrong with you? But now coaching is so, so, so important. So coaching is a really great way to make an income. I know coaches who are making millions of dollars a year. Of course, they are outliers, but they love what they do, right? Even if you were making $100,000 a year as a coach, that's a really, really, really good lifestyle. Because you're helping people, you have mobility and so on. A third one, which is with the whole crypto space. There's an, don't be stupid when it comes to crypto, but definitely there are interesting opportunities emerging with NFTs, with DAOs, DAOs. There are some great YouTube channels where you can learn about crypto and you can start to understand that marketplace. Keep in mind that, you know, investing in things like Bitcoin are risky. If you bought Bitcoin 1 month ago, you would have lost a lot of money today. And so you got to have a really long-term perspective.
And what would happen if you left? What would happen if you stayed? What would happen if you changed? It's up to them to pull themselves out of the victimhood. It's hard to see from a victim standpoint the aspect that everything's a choice. And I move ahead with everything's a choice. Existentialism, that it is a choice. And how you feel about it and what you do about it. Doesn't mean there aren't barriers around you. Doesn't mean the world doesn't want to guide you to a certain endpoint. But you are in the driver's seat of your life. There's power in knowing who you are. There's not much power in being a zombie. And just walking through the world and saying, well, a lot of people do it is they do stuff and they say, I don't think that's it. They do something else. I don't think that's it. Well, what do you think it is? Don't work every vocation in the world, every spot in the world as a null set until you find out what it is. Make a declaration. The leader part is that they're able to bring out those characteristics in others, that consciousness in others. They don't do it by cajoling or by manipulation. That can be done. It can be done for a short term. But it's not a long-term measure. But they actually help people in the discovery, if they're not already awake to who they are, they help them become awake to why they're in this business or organization. And together, that they start to move aggressively towards a vision. That's what differentiates teams, and that's where work spirit comes into play. That spirit of purpose. And it's enunciated, they know what it is, and they speak directly to it. What differentiates the best leader in these systems or the best leaders? And it has something to do with this spirit, passion for something they hold deeply at and consciously at bay. Who they are and why are they in the world becomes very important. Be appreciative that you've learned how to manage yourself, then move towards leading yourself. And in leading yourself is understanding and starting to do the deep inquiry that you'll do for life. Why am I here on earth? For what purpose? And then to establish a vision, probably as a 20-year-old, probably 25, 5 years out. Where do I want to be? What do I want to be doing? Being with, learned, knowing, all those areas. And then what values do I want to operate within? So it's really developing that vision, value, and purpose for myself. And then once I have that, then I'd say the last step is start to identify people that I align with on purpose at different levels and start to move with them into the world. Lead yourself before leading others. And this issue of leading yourself is discovering that purpose. And you start by asking the question, why am I here? I'm not talking about in the office or in that organization or in that country, but here on the planet. And that's the only way there is to start. It may be an incomplete answer. It may be a partial, it probably is. Maybe a half-baked answer. But that is much superior to I don't know and I don't want to question. There's this issue of self-awareness coming forth. And Tasha Urich is a researcher. In 2017, she put out a book on awareness. She's been trying to measure awareness using different categories that she speaks about. 95% of people believe they are self-aware, when in fact it's more like 10 to 15%, she quotes, are self-aware. And she says, don't confuse thinking about yourself the same as being self-aware. Don't confuse thinking about yourself the same as being self-aware. And what she's trying to bring forth is that the process of working on yourself and bringing you as a being present to you is different than just seeing what your triggers are, or it's different than just seeing what your likes or dislikes, or seeing what it's really the hard work of understanding who you are and then start to guide that. And as Marvin and I say, Dr. Washington and I say, lead yourself before you try to lead somebody. So this issue about it's about the team, but it's about me. It's about the team, it's about me, gets conflicted. It's a prioritization that looks appealing to members because the lion is strong, asserts itself, roars, powerful, but never get confused who it's about. It's about that lion. Any publicity is a, don't talk to me about what you did. Let's talk about what I did as a leader. If you took the leaders in the past, that would be a lion leader would be something like a MacArthur in the Pacific, General MacArthur. It's all about me. Most people can't name a general that was under MacArthur's command. But if you go to Eisenhower in World War II in the West, we'll know about Bradley, we know about Patton, we know about a bunch of them. Why? Because he was a leader of a wild dog pack, drawing together both the Brits and the Americans, all these different personalities to do what? A single focus, defeat Nazis. Yeah. Wild dogs are unique. That issue of we have a shared vision, and the vision, I don't trump the vision. It's not about me. It's about what we've set our collective mind to. And I'll do anything as your leader to make that happen with you. And perseverance, tenacity, I refuse to give up.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.